We love you. Thank you for Resurrection Sunday 2017. It amazes me how fast time is imploding. But it serves as a reminder that we're getting ever so close to eternity. We're getting ever so close to fulfillment of your word, the prophecies, and the coming of the Lamb. And I'm so glad during this Passover moment, this day of resurrection remembrance, that you haven't changed. You are still the same. And I thank you for being that unchanging hand in an unstable time, a time of turmoil and a time of turbulence. Father, I ask now that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross in order that I can speak this word with clarity, power, and purpose. That your people would have ears to hear, that they would not be dulled by the life of luxury and the life of entertainment that surrounds this nation so strongly. Help us, Father, to be obedient to the word and fulfill the great commission that you've called us to. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Well, happy Sunday again. Happy Resurrection Day. Y'all look so pretty today. Colorful. Y'all bathed. It's not even the end of the month yet. And y'all spruced up. You Georgia people, you're just different folk. Amen. I love y'all. I appreciate you. Happy Resurrection Day to everybody. Again, I find it so amazing that we're already here on the calendar. We just had New Year's Eve service together. We just celebrated, you know, the holidays, and now we're right here at this point of this year. And again, if you can't recognize how fast things are moving, something wrong with you. Amen. We are moving at the speed of the Word of God. But these are exciting days for sure. I have a message to preach to you. You know I am not a holiday preacher by any means. I've never claimed to be one. I don't have a Rolodex of sermons that I pick out that are seasonal. I just go to the Father and ask him what he wants to say. And so what you just saw here through live streaming, that's about as religious as we get and ritual as we get when it comes to a holiday. But you just can't pass up Resurrection Day. Boy, you just cannot pass this season of Passover and not remember what Jesus has done for us. Amen. He's been so good to us. This message is going to be very strong, and I pray that I can articulate it the way I received it. Again, it's not going to be a typical holiday message because I don't believe we're in a typical holiday season of life. I don't believe that we are typical people. I believe that we are last day remnant generation. I believe that we are radical believers who are on fire for God. Despite the lukewarm pagan Babylonian backslidden church, we love God and we love truth. And I'm telling you, people all across America and around the world are hungering for truth. They're reaching out for truth. And there really is a movement of the Holy Spirit among the church, the true church, the real church that wants to see the power of God. And I'm so glad Ignited is a part of it. Here's a word the Lord spoke to me during my morning time, getting ready to be here with you. He said, the sounds of war are in the air. Armaments and military might stand and stare, ready to move, ready for a dare. These are the signs of the times that I revealed to the world. These are the warnings that I revealed to you, my church, but are you heeding them? Confusion reigns in your country and your churches. Leaders sworn to proclaim truth, they're sworn in. We have people that are in political high places who are sworn in to bring you and I the truth. We have preachers who are supposed to bring truth in the pulpits every single time they stand before folks. But they don't. He said, leaders sworn in to proclaim truth, but live in lies and practice deceit. My church has become a playhouse for puppets moved by the strings of politicians and hidden agendas of wicked men. Yet time moves forward. My word is being fulfilled, but still my church sleeps on. Soon the sound of war will fill your streets. A fire will rage beyond your control. Many will call on me, but it will be too late. I warned you now. Your enemies are at the gate. And I want to emphasize the word enemies, because there are a plethora of enemies against this country and against the cross. Refuse this warning at your peril, for soon you will witness the effects of a nation turned into hell. Again, this is Resurrection Sunday 2017. And I have no misunderstanding of what's going on around churches in America today. Most people are probably home by now. And I have nothing against resurrection services that are done in the morning and sunrise and all those things, if that's what you want to do. But I like business as usual. In an hour that's critical, I think we should be in a critical mode. We should be in a mode of readiness. And that's what this church is doing. I'm not going to take a holiday for anybody or for any reason. I know that there's pastors that use this Sunday as a day to kick back and not have to preach. I didn't wake up with that attitude this morning. I'm ready to work, and I'm ready to preach. The Lord spoke this word to me that I just gave to you, but the title, he spoke to me prior to that. And again, he speaks to me different as he speaks to other people and other ministries in various ways. But this is what I heard. The precipice of war. The precipice of war. And that is the title of my message this morning, The Precipice of War. We are on the precipice of war. There is no doubt about it. Unless you have slept upside down in a post hole over the past few weeks, you would be totally ignorant of what's going on around in our world. In fact, you would have to be totally out of the planet for the past several years not to recognize and realize that our nation and the nations of the world are on a war footing. There is a plan. The Bible is very clear about a plan of a last-day government and a last-day entities that want to bring chaos into the world in order to bring in a new form of government. We know that it is the government of the Antichrist. But all across America, we have preachers who will not tell us the truth because they want to hide behind the facade that everything is fine and everything is well in order that the money would continue to come in, because we don't want to disrupt anybody. We don't want anybody upset. We want everybody happy and comfortable while we all go down on the Titanic. Well, I'm not going to make you comfortable in this church. The scripture the Lord gave me was Isaiah chapter 28. I want you to go there with me. Isaiah chapter 28. I'm going to do my best to misbehave as much as possible. I'm going to do my best to offend you. And I'm going to do my best to bring to you revelation and truth in such a way that will keep you awake in this hour that we're living in. It amazes me how many times I hear folks talking about the good times, and I used to prep and I used to get ready and I used to do this, all because of a quote unquote political cycle and a political environment that has turned out to be a facade. And my job as a pastor and a watchman is to keep you on the ready. You need to be ready for eternity. You need to be ready for the battle that's before you. You need to be ready for the great harvest. Are you in Isaiah chapter 28 yet? Verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. The Lord begins this prophetic message to America and to the nations that have backslidden from God. Woe. There is a woe in the land. There's a warning in this nation that few are speaking of and declaring. But nonetheless, the Spirit of God is saying, woe. And I know that is contrary to preachers that want to preach that everything is just fine, everything's kosher, and everything is okie-dokie. But the reality is, if we look in our city streets, all you have to look at is Berkeley. If you look at what's going down all around the nation, you will find that we are in trouble, we are in chaos, we are the divided states of America, and we are on the precipice of not only international war, but civil war. We are a nation that is fractured politically. We are fractured economically. We are fractured socially. We are fractured racially. We are fractured in our churches. We are a nation that needs restoration and mending and healing. And we do not have a healer right now to help us in the natural. All I know of one, his name is Jesus. But our nation, including our preachers, are not even calling upon him. So woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Now, I'm not going to go into the study of Ephraim and the comparison of America and Manasseh and all that. You can study that on your own. But as I do, when the Lord gives me a prophetic word, there's an interchangeable ability that he gives us to look and replace those names with where we are today. And today we're talking about America, the drunkards of America, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. There is no doubt that this nation has changed its color of beauty, its design of beauty, its past historical truth of beauty, and we've turned it for the ugliness of what we now have. And what I mean by that is we've gone from a nation that used to preach and teach righteousness, not only from the pulpits of America, but from the political palaces of our nation and from our public education places, all the way down to the boys' club and to the YMCA, come on somebody, and to the local barbershop. Righteousness was preached, it was taught, and we had some type of morality in our nation. We're living in a time when everybody, most people act as though just let it go. Do what you want to do. It doesn't really make a difference. I mean, what does it matter? I'm not hurting anybody but myself. We've turned our beauty. It's a fading flower. And I know there will be those that will argue with me today and pull out all the great things of America, and we could do that. But in comparison to the Word of God, we are a fading flower. We once used to be that sweet-smelling Savior to God. We used to be that nation that showed other nations righteousness, but now we teach them how to fornicate and teach them how to murder their babies. I know you didn't want to hear this on Resurrection Sunday, but you're going to get it anyways. Fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that overcome with wine. In other words, they would dress up upon their head flowers, and they would dance, and they would parade, and they would party, and have all kinds of debaucheries going on, as though there was not a care in the world. They were drunkards. And not only drunkards of wine, but drunkards of idolatry. There is no doubt in my mind that this nation is full of idolatry. We may not go around with devils and pointed horns and pitchforks, but we have all kinds of idols in our sports teams, in our musicians, in the things that we watch, in the entertainment of our life. We have idolatry. We have idolatry in the church when we raise up preachers beyond the Word of God and we allow them a pass from righteousness to hide their sin. Come on, somebody, because they're somebody special. Idolatry. We have idolatry in the church where we lift up politicians and we don't make them accountable for their sin. We don't make them accountable because they flip-flopped on something they promised on the back of the church, and they rode the church into the White House, or they rode the church into Congress, or they rode the church into a state house, and they're not held to their promises. We lift them up and we give them excuse and a pass. It's idolatry. It's happening in our nation today. We teach our children to learn more about superheroes than we do about the greatest superhero ever born. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Wish I had a friend somewhere. We teach our children how to fornicate by the lifestyle that we live and the television programs that we allow to be spewed into our homes. And then we wonder why they're pregnant. We wonder why they're married and don't even have a job. I wish I had somebody that just kind of liked me on this day. I'm just starting off because I'm about to rip this thinking jag it all, and then we're going to get started. So just hang on. I'm doing best I can to keep it on. It's Resurrection Sunday, Elder. I'm trying to be cool. We got visitors all the way from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, via Atlanta. In case y'all get hot-headed and big-headed and they came all the way. They didn't come here for you. Is anybody here? They ain't come here for me. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one. Verse 2, you still there? Which is a tempest of hell and of destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overwhelming shall cast down to the earth with the hand. In other words, God has a plan to deal with pride. We don't like to talk about it in the pulpits of America because we don't really know who God is. If we really knew who God is, we wouldn't act the way we do behind closed doors. If we really knew who God was, if we really knew the recompense of our reward of our sin, we wouldn't do what we do when nobody's around. We wouldn't think the thoughts that we think. I wish I had somebody here that would understand holiness. But because we don't recognize that there is a judgment and a justice side to God, and our preachers refuse to preach it from the pulpits of America, then we have sin cascading like a river and like a waterfall throughout our homes and throughout our neighborhoods and throughout our communities. But God says, I've got something that I can use to deal with a nation that is full of pride. The Bible declares that before the fall comes, there is what? Pride. God can't stand pride. Because what is pride? Pride is placing your priorities above God. Pride is saying, I can do this. I can accomplish this without your help, God. I don't need you in my politics. I don't need you in society. I don't need you in the economy. I don't need you in the military. I don't even need you in morality. We will design our own morality here in America. We will design our own new way and a new system of righteousness that does not include you, God. It's called Babylonian pride. That's taking place in America today, where we write laws that allow men to sin freely and nobody does a thing about it. He says, behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one. He said, I got a plan. I got a plan to deal with sin. I got a plan to deal with unrighteousness. And here's the thing, we forget because we really haven't been taught that God is sovereign. Oh, he's love and he embraces and he brings in and he forgives and he redeems and he heals and he restores and he is a savior. But he's also a father that has a limit of tolerance when it comes to sin. And the Bible is full of this proof. I don't care if your favorite preacher doesn't talk about it on television. I don't care if you buy books that are contrary to this truth. God deals with the sinner. Some of y'all need to read the book, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and find out the reality of that truth. He's sovereign, he's holy, he's righteous, he's clean, and he ain't like you, and he ain't like me. He's majestic. But our pillow prophets in America and our playboy preachers, they won't tell us who God really is. I believe they're not telling you and I because they don't even know him. Verse 3, the crown of pride, the drunkenness of Ephraim shall be trodden under feet. I believe that as much as I'm standing right now before you live in an HD. I believe that God is going to deal with the pride of America, though I don't want him to. Though I don't pray for him to, I don't ask for him to. I would like for this to go past and just bring about forgiveness and repentance and just see some restoration and see some type of reprieve. But I'm here to tell you there is none, because there has been no repentance from our government, no repentance from our church leaders, no repentance from those in authority. It's getting worse by the moment, folks. He said, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to crush this pride. I'm going to deal with this drunkenness. We are a nation that is drunk with success. We're a nation that is drunk with pornography. We're a nation that is drunk with pride. Some of y'all ain't been drunk in a long time, and I thank the Lord for that. But you remember the day when you used to be drunk, everything was fine. I hit two trees and one guardrail. Everything's fine. I can make it home. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Got a broken nose and walk in the place and say, I'm fine. Everybody knows you got a broken nose but you. I just got the sniffles. Son, that's blood. Pride makes you arrogant. Please go with me in your mind for just a second. I don't want you to go too far now. But how many of y'all remember that when you were drunken? Elder, don't look at me like that. Elder went back to her Pinto days. Some of y'all know nothing about a Pinto. See, I love my children because I get to go retro on them. And I'll say something about a Maverick. What's a Maverick? Go on, Maverick, Pinto, huh? A Gremlin, Mach 3, Mustang. Some of y'all know, huh? Nova, Station Wagon, Goat, Super Sport, SS. 351 Cleveland, Trans Am, with the smoking chicken on the front. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. An Arrow. How many of y'all remember Pacer? Somebody said Studebaker. That's too far back. We ain't going to Studebaker. That's honk, honk. But how many of y'all know that when you were drunk and when you were out of your mind, you'd always pick on the biggest dude in the bar or in the lounge or the disco for you weirdos. Disco. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You would always think that you were bigger than the guy standing there. But in real life, you would have called him sir, but not this night. Because this night, you're on liquid magic, man. You're on liquid lightning. You're ready to take on the world. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Because I've been there. You Joe Peacock. Whoa. I mean, you know, you take on everybody. Mike knows what I'm talking about. I'm just not going to go there, Elder. I've got some stories to tell. But the reality is this. When you're drunk, you don't see right. When you're drunk, you don't perceive right. You don't hear right. You don't drive right. You don't act right, and you surely don't live right. And America is in the same position that we are drunk. We have a president who's drunk with pride and power. We have a government that's drunk with pride and power. All of these things that are going on in our nation and acting as though God doesn't exist, you are full of pride, and someday pride will make you fall. Drunken with idolatry. The economy cannot continue to go on like it is going on today. There is no way we can continue to do it. Anybody that can count to three knows that. But we're prideful. And our preachers refuse to tell us the truth. They refuse to tell us what's going on behind closed doors. They know what the Spirit of God is saying, but they won't say it. I know some preachers listening to me right now. You know you should, but you won't, because you're a coward. The crown of the pride, the drunken, the drunkards of Ephraim, verse 3, shall be trodden under feet. So God says, look, I'm going to deal with the drunkenness. I'm going to deal with your inability to perceive where you are. You're picking on enemies that are bigger than you. You're putting yourself in positions that you shouldn't be put in, because as a people and a nation, you are in trouble. But you can't see the reality. We have the church that's acting like it has no troubles and no problems whatsoever, that we are the rich and we are the beauty and we are all these things of the nation and the nations of the world. But the reality is we are blind and we are naked, and we have been found wanting in the scales of God. And we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble as a nation. Let me go on. Verse 4. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower. This is what I was talking about, the parading around. They would have flowers and they would be like flower children, like a flower child. Just, they would party down and have their orgies and have their drunkenness and their idolatry and doing all the things that they wanted to do, acting as though judgment would never come. I'm telling you, this is America right here. This is the Church of Jesus Christ, the backslidden, pagan, lukewarm Babylonian church that will not recognize their sin. They're parading with flowers upon their hair, upon their head, acting like everything is well, because we name God. Watch what he says. And as the beauty, or excuse me, as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth it while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In other words, easy picking. There comes a time when your pride will make you blind and not realize that your enemy is sneaking up on you, and he will easily pick from you the portion of plenty that you think you have. I remember going back to drunken days. I mean, you know, you used to think that you were the fastest hand in town until they swung and then you did. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You're already on the ground as you're swinging down. But we can't see this. We're in a moment of pride. We're in a moment of drunkenness in America, where we're going to war with various nations and we're provoking various nations and we're trying to pick a fight. And again, as I said last week, I don't have a problem dealing with dictators. I ain't got a problem dealing with murderers. I ain't got a problem dealing with a robber. I don't have a problem dealing with sin. But what I have a problem is when we have issues at our own home, when we have problems with sin and we haven't made things right with God, then we invoke his name and we head out into battle. That, my friends, is dangerous. And we're blinded. Our preachers in the pulpit of America should be shouting to the loudest steeple and the loudest mountaintops and saying, stop the madness of what you're doing. Let's make things right with God now. Let's hold on before we drop the next bomb. Let's hold on before we send out the next plane or next boat. Let's hold on for a minute and say, God, forgive us for the murdering of babies, for the pedophilia of our nation, for the craziness of the actions of our sin. God, God, we need you. But we're blinded and we're arrogant and we're drunk. The famous last words of every drunk is, I can handle this. I always said that. Every car I owned, I crashed due to drunkenness. Oh, I can tell you all kinds of stories, and you can tell me stories too. But I always had it under control. Even when I flipped my truck 3 times and lived with no seatbelt on, we kicked the windshield out, me and a football military buddy of mine. I said, man, wasn't that wild? Fool, ignorant, blinded by alcoholism, drunken. Idolatry in the midst of death, in the midst of the grasp of death and hell itself, still full of pride, get out of a life and death situation and say, man, wasn't that awesome? Woo! And I'm telling you, you've done it too. But our nation is doing the very exact same thing, and we are playing Russian roulette with the world. And worse than that, we're playing Russian roulette with God, and God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man shall sow, that he will reap. I have to be an alarmist because we don't know the hour we're living in. We don't know how close we are to having an enemy creep or come in blatantly into this nation and cripple us and possibly in the coming days and years destroy us. I said possibly as in time frame, but is absolutely will happen prophetically. Verse 5. In that day... This is right here is a message for the remnant. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. Now, for those of you to think I'm always negative, I'm not always negative. I have a very positive message, but you have to understand what is going to take place before revival ever comes. And we're going to have to go through hell, and we're going to have to go through correction, and we're going to have to go through chastisement before we see the glory. But verse 5 says that he will be a crown for the remnant of God. I've preached this for years, that as these things begin to take place on the nation, look up, not for your redemption to get out of here, but for the glory of God to descend upon the church and the power of the Holy Ghost to come upon the preachers again and upon those that love God. And signs and wonders and miracles will take place again. The blinded eyes will see, the deaf ears shall unstop, those in the lame shall walk again, and the dead shall be raised. It's the promise of Pentecost. It's the promise of the Spirit of God moving on the face of the earth in the last days, the former and the latter rain coming down as a flood. Woo-wee. That's what I'm living for. I'm not living for paycheck. I'm not living for stuff. I'm not living for things. I am living to see the day of the glory of God when the crown of righteousness will rest upon the church again, upon the remnant that love God. Let me prove it to you again. Verse 6. By the way, this is a commercial for the remnant church. And for a spirit of judgment. The word judgment, the translation is justice. It's a legal term. Are you with me? It also means execution. So he says this in verse 6. and for a spirit of justice, or a spirit of execution to him that sitteth in judgment. In other words, to those that love justice, they love the word of God. They love righteousness. They want to see their nation clean. They want to see the schools clean again. They want to see Holy Ghost private schools raised up in communities that don't have them. They want to see families sticking together and husband and wife fighting out and making it through. Come on, somebody. Not just for the sake of the children, but for the sake of covenant you made before God and man. You hear it all the time. We're going to stick together until they're old enough, and then we out of here. You coward. Won't you stick it out until rapture or the death? She was drunk enough to marry you. All the ladies should have shouted and say amen. And for the spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, watch, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Let me break this down for you. He says, I'm going to bring a crown to the remnant. I'm going to bring an anointing to those. I'm going to give you the spirit of execution and the strength. And the word strength means force. I'm going to give you force. I'm to give you power that you turn the enemies back to their gate. In other words, come on, somebody. He said that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. In other words, when the enemy tries to come into your community, you can drive them out. You can get together with a remnant and say, no, you ain't going to dwell in my neighborhood. No, you ain't going to dwell in my family. No, you're not going to dwell in my school system. You don't have the right. I push you back to your gate. You see, we don't look this way just yet. But there's coming a day in the future where we look better than we do right now. And when that anointing comes on us, it's going to be like spinach and Popeye. Come on, somebody. It's going to be like a phone booth for Clark Kent. It's going to turn us into a Superman and a Superwoman. I'm not talking about something that comes from the comics. I'm talking about the anointing of God that flows freely from his throne. Rivers of living water shall flow through the church again, and we'll push the enemy back. See, we're not there yet, but we're going to get there. You say, Pastor, when are we going to get there? We're going to get there when we're in the heap ashes of ruin in this nation. That didn't make me popular, did it? Some of y'all want microwave Christianity. Some of y'all want doot, 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 beep, tick, 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 tick. You ain't going to get it. You got to carry your cross. You ain't gonna get until God refines the church and we get the playboys out of the pulpits. We get the sin out of the homes. We get righteousness back in the people of God. And this nation wakes up and realizes there's no other way but God. We don't have that mindset in our nation because we're prideful. We're serving foreign gods in this nation, and nothing has changed from this election. Happy Resurrection Day to everybody. Bunny hop, ha, ha, ha. They don't even make Cadbury the same anymore. Ruined everything. Did y'all hear about a year ago they took out one of the special ingredients in the chocolate? What's wrong with people? The end is near. Verse 7, come on, I only got a little longer. And I'll let you go home and you go to your roast or whatever y'all do. You're not going to get a seat anywhere in Livonia for lunch. You might as well drive through.
Can I get your honor, please?
You ain't going to sit down nowhere in Livonia. Because the Methodists are already there. Let me go. Verse 7. I didn't say Baptist. Verse 7.
But they have also erred through wine and through strong drink. What's that say? And are out of the way. The word err means deceived. We're living in a day of deception.
where people go into church Sunday after Sunday. They file in, sit down, wave a hand, throw God a tip, hear a little bit of a pablum, and go out, and they're never changed or challenged because the pulpits are full of error. They're full of deception. They're full of lies, and they won't tell us the truth. I cannot stand lies. I cannot stand deception. I cannot stand hocus pocus. Honey, if you're going to tell me something, tell it to me now. Tell it to me the right way. My children come up to me and say, Dad, and they're holding the broken piece in their hand. What did you do? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? God, I broke it. God, we're broken. I want to tell you the truth. I want to look at the church and I want to tell you the truth. We're broken. They've erred out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. And they are swallowed up of wine, and they're out of the way. Through strong drink, they err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Our preachers, our prophets, they stumble because they're drunken. They're in error, and they can't see a proper vision. And they're telling the church that everything is fine, that we're in a reprieve, that everything is well, that the economy's growing, and everything's fine, when the reality is it is not. This is the church today. Drunken. Drunken with pride. Let me tell you why they're drunken with pride. Because of money. Because there's enough foolish people out there to still continue to pay the budgets of these charlatans. Sounds like you wanting them to send money here. Yep. Because I know what I'll do with the gospel. I know what I'll do with what comes in. I know what we're going to do in the future vision. We're waiting for the crown to come. Come on, somebody. The diadem to come. The anointing of God to come. To preach this blessed gospel to the nations of the earth. I haven't changed in 25 years of ministry. And I won't change in the next 25 years of ministry. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there ain't no other way to heaven but through Him. Righteousness and holiness is the only way. I'm telling you, people are leaving these churches that are full of charlatans and these preachers, but many are still there. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? They've erred. They can't judge right. They don't have proper judgment. They say, okay, well, right is wrong and wrong is right. Well, you know, Pastor, we ought to be just compassionate with these people, and we should just, you know, let them do this and let them do that. And next thing you know, you have some type of crisis in your ministry. You have a pedophile that you allowed to be in your children's ministry or your outreach ministry because you want to be culturally correct. You want to be politically correct. And you didn't guard the house of God like a father would his virgin daughter or son. Y'all ain't with me today. Y'all thinking about bunny rabbits and little fake eggs. I hope the biggest rainstorm just hits this place right now. Woo, we need it, don't we? I got seed in the ground. I need some corn this year. Is anybody still with me? It's insanity. And we allow these things to go on. We allow this preaching to go on. We allow this facade to take place. And we can't find people that will stand up and say, preacher, tell me the truth. You talk about fake news. We got fake news in the pulpit. We got fake news prophesying all kinds of lies, prophesying sunshine, and I see a big old hand in the form of a man, a big old black storm cloud, and he's up there preaching, saying, it's going to be sunny. The clouds of war are gathering around the nations of the world. And preachers will stand up this morning drunken, full of idolatry. Because they don't want the good times to end. I'm going to tell you something. Can I be very plain with you? God will supply the needs of the remnant church. I believe the bulk of the wealth is not with fancy pants preachers
or their few little monetary robot monkeys they have surrounding them. I believe the wealth is found in God through his people, the remnant. I believe that. And I believe they'll support the message of truth. Watch this, verse 8. Man, I got a long way to go. I don't know if y'all tolerate me another hour. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. Can I tell you this morning, I did not pick this as my resurrection service message. I did not pick this because visitors were going to be here today. I did not pick this because we're going to be live streaming and we're all on different media platforms. I didn't pick this today. God said he's got an issue with the priests and the prophets of America because our tables are not clean. What is the table he talking about? He's talking about where the meat is brought forth. He's talking about the pulpits of America. He's talking about where ministry is giving out to the people. It's unclean because it's full of vomit. I'm going to make an honest confession with you. I don't watch Christian television. Let me tell you what I watch. On the Now Network at 4 p.m., Ignited Life Now. I watch me. And I say, man, I got to lose some weight. Or get me a different camera angle. No, I mean, I don't listen to many preachers because it's hard to find a table that doesn't have vomit on it. It's hard to find a preacher who's still married to the same girl he started out in ministry with. I'm not talking mistakes that all of us have been through. I'm just talking about these charlatans who act like they can go ahead and divorce on Monday in the Bahamas, get married on Tuesday. And then pop up and everything's just fine. And you're like, who's this senorina? That's redneck for girl. Who is this? Who's it? I mean, all of a sudden, everything just changes and he's got four new children. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but the reality of what goes on behind Christian television would make you puke. What goes on behind the crystal cathedrals, what goes on behind just the storefront churches with preachers, they're messed up, they're full of vomit, and they're putting the vomit back on the church, and the church doesn't seem to care that the table is unclean. I'm going to tell you right now, this table's clean at Ignited Church. I promise you, I wash my hands, I sanitize my hands, and I wash them again. I have my heart clean. And if I make a mistake, God, forgive me. I don't want to stand before your people unrighteously. I don't want to bring my opinion in some message that I got out of Reader's Digest. I don't want to bring to you something that'll damn your soul. I'm not following after other women. My wife is staying faithful to me as I am to her. Why? We love God. We love covenant. We love you. And we want a clean table to minister the word of God to you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can't find that much. It's an epidemic in America. I've already read the statistics last week. If you don't know about it, go listen to that message. That message is blown up. For all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. Could you imagine God looking down upon Ephraim, the northern kingdom, and God looks down upon it and he says, I can't even find a place that's clean to place my word upon. I can't even find somebody that doesn't have vomit or dirtiness or idolatry or drunkenness on them. I can't even find righteous folk. But God bless America. God bless America, man. We're going to go to foreign countries and teach people a lesson. Yankee Doodle Dandy, we're going to march on, case on. We're going to do all these different things because God is with us. God is not with us when sin is the banner over our lives. You cannot go to war on past merits of righteousness. You can't. Listen to me. You can't. This is the problem with America. We think once saved, always saved. We think that once we go to church, we've always gone to church. We think once we're America the Great, we're always the Great. You must have fruit that proves who you are, and we don't have it. But we're going to march out. We're going to fight a devil with the devil. A house divided against itself shall not stand. You're just anti. No, I'm not anti, man. I'm just telling you the reality of spiritual warfare and the reality of end time prophecies. God will not go with our military. Though I love my military and I love this nation and I support them and I ask you and I covet with you to pray for our military, pray for our men, that if we go into North Korea, we will lose a lot of people. We will. This is no game. This is not a reality program, folks. This is not a time for a reality star to be making decisions that has to do with spiritual implications. An end time prophecy. I'm sorry, that's heavy, but that's the reality we're in. Happy Resurrection Day. I already said that, didn't I? Good. Just didn't want you to forget what day it was. I'm closing. I don't want to. I'm nowhere being done, finished, but I look at verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, a little bit of maturity. How do we understand the signs and the times that we're living in? By eating the meat. By understanding who God is. And facing these facts and saying the hard things that we're saying here today. For precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and other tongues shall they speak to these people. This is a prophecy about going into Babylon, also a prophecy about the day of Pentecost. But look at verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest where we may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. In other words, God says, look, I got a plan for you. I got a plan to bless you. I got a plan to prosper you. I got a plan to keep you in health. I want to do something great in your life. I want to do something great in your nation, but you won't let me do it. You say, how are we keeping God from doing it? We're keeping God from doing it by our unrighteousness. Go to verse 19 and I'm going to close. I know you have family and you have things to do today. And I've delivered my soul this morning. But I want you to read the rest of Isaiah 28. I want you to meditate on this word. I want you to pray. Verse 19, from the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you for morning by morning, and it shall pass over by day and night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. In other words, God said, I'm going to allow a cycle of trouble, a cycle of turbulence, a cycle of tribulation to come upon you until you finally get the ideal. Some of you all forget the sin you used to be in. And how before you got saved, you went through a battery of issues before you finally hit the bottom. And then you looked up and you said, oh, I understand now. This is what's coming to America. We're on the precipice of war, not just internationally, but we're on the precipice of war socially, economically. And I believe there's a revolution coming to the modern day church. I believe there's coming a great exodus of people who are going to leave these churches that are full of idolatry and drunkenness. Verse 22 says this. Now therefore be you not mockers, lest your bonds be made strong. In other words, you better deal with what's coming down the road. For I have heard from the Lord of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. In other words, there's coming a day when God is going to deal with the sin of the earth.
and the sin of our nation. Don't get me wrong, there is hope. Verse 5 and verse 6 declares that there is hope for the remnant. There's a great day of revival coming. But it's not going to take place until we finally realize the pride and the drunkenness that we're in. And unfortunately, it's going to take a great wake-up call for that to happen. I ask you to pray for this nation. I ask you to pray for this president. I ask for you to pray for Congress. I ask for you to pray for China. Pray for North Korea, South Korea, and all the entities around that can say something to avert war. And to believe, God, that we would make the right decisions in the coming day and wake up out of our drunkenness. Heavenly Father, I delivered your word to your people. I love them. You love them. That's why you have me preach this. I know it's not popular. I know it's nothing anybody wants to hear on this holiday. But it's a holy day, and it's a day we need to hear truth. We're on the precipice of war. You spoke it. You warned it. Now I pray, would we take heed and prepare our families for this coming day? Father, I do pray for this president, President Donald Trump, and those around him. I pray for our Congress, the House, the Senate. I pray, Father, for the military. I pray that righteous decisions will be made based in morality, not political agenda. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, amen. I love you. See you Wednesday.